Let's start the show.
Unlike most programs, the performer hasn't been provided with a script.
Open Line is ready to roll.
Ignition sequence start.
So listen to this. Okay, listen.
Open Line starts now.
All talk, no action.
All right, we are ready to go. Lovely. Hey, everybody, welcome in. It's Open Line. I'm Charlie Stone. I even brought my buddy Mark Hahn in with me today.
I'm glad I moved up in the world, Chuck.
Yeah, you moved up. Yeah. We're not paying you for this. But,
what?
What? You're in. And I don't know what happened over the week. Well, I do know what happened over the weekend. I could not miss this show today. I told JB, I told the guy in the corner office, told Kelly, I am coming in today, hell or high water. Something happened in this country that intrinsically changed this country, I hope, for the better. But I start out with a question, folks, here on Open Line, and the lines are open. 239-2101. I want to hear from the people today about what went on Saturday. But here's my question. What in the hell is wrong with us? What in the hell is wrong with us? And I'll give you some examples. We've got a president candidate attempted to be assassinated, wounded, another gentleman killed. And I look at the videotape of this, and you know what I see? I see a bunch of goofballs giving the finger to the camera and yelling blank you to the press. The president, to me, the president and the future president was just wounded. And was it miraculous? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He would have turned a quarter of an inch this way, that way. It would have been right in the brain. So what in the hell is wrong with us? The anger, the vitriol. The screaming and the yelling, and it goes on both sides. You know, I you know, all these yahoos over on the Democrat side can say, well, what, he caused this himself. You know what? Let me throw up some tapes of Joe Biden. Existential threat to democracy.
Don't forget about the Target comment.
And the Target comment. And it goes on and on. So we're going to open it up today. We're going to have some really good guests that'll bring you up close and personal. And one of them, we got right out of the gate here. So get ready to dial. We got to hear your 2 cents worth because you're the people. That's who should be talking now. Not the DNC or the RNC or Senator this or Congressman that. That ain't, we don't want to hear from them. We want to hear from the people. And that's what we're going to do today. And we are very lucky that I have a gentleman by the name of Jim on the line. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Good in the sense that this had a decent ending for President Trump. But I understand, Jim, you were at the rally out there in PA.
Yes, I was. Just for real quick background, I'm retired Air Force, spent all my life in special operations. I lived in La Marche for a while after I first retired.
Uh-huh.
I now split my time between my house in Pittsburgh, my hometown, and I also have a place in the Florida Keys.
Okay.
But I was at the rally Saturday. I was about 6 rows behind Trump and slightly to the left as you look at it from the camera. You can't miss me. I got this canary yellow shirt on and my black retired Air Force hat.
Okay.
And it happened pretty quick, I'll tell you that. I was standing up, everybody was cheering because when Trump first came up on stage, he looked to us in the bleachers and, mm-hmm. and waves, and we're all going crazy. And he was just only, you know, 4 or 5, maybe 6 minutes into his spiel whenever the first shots rang out. And my experience was, you know, I heard 3 shots. The 3rd shot is when he grabbed his ear. And he dove to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard reports that the Secret Service tackled him. No, he took that 3rd hit in his ear, and he dove to the floor, and then Secret Service was immediately on him. They were moving at the first down to the first shot. And then there were three more rapid shots, and it was over. And the poor fireman was about 20 feet to my right.
Oh, good Lord.
The guy that was killed right in front of his family was...
Awful.
There were heroic efforts to try to save him, but he was already gone.
Let me ask you this. As a viewer of this, and very familiar with gunfire, those pops sounded really muted. Was that because of the distance between the shooter and the target?
Yeah, it was only a 2-3. He was firing, and he was 150 yards away. So what you hear is, well, if that's what you're going to hear, is a pop.
Yeah,
from that distance. And there was no doubt. I mean, I was talking to my girlfriend on the phone afterwards, about an hour afterwards, because they, the Secret Service has the ability to shut down the cell towers.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime there's an incident, to make sure there's not a follow-up, like with an explosive device that's triggered remotely or whatever. But they immediately shut off the cell towers. Nobody could text or call out. And about an hour later, by the time I got out of there and far enough away that my phone would work again. But my girlfriend told me on the phone that they were calling it on the news an incident. It wasn't an incident.
No.
It was an attempted assassination. And for the media to try to downplay it and say, oh, it was probably fireworks, it was just an incident. No. No,
it wasn't an incident, and as a matter of fact, as this show rolls on, I've got some excerpts and statements from other media that'll make you roll in your bed, Jim, where their attitude and hatred comes from. Let me ask you this. That's the last thing you expected, going to a rally with Donald Trump. It's supposed to be joyous and fun and get up close and personal with this man. Once it began, did most people know it was an assassination attempt around you?
As soon as I heard the shot, I stood up. I mean, because I know what I'm hearing.
Right.
And I looked toward the sound of the gunfire. I'm the idiot in the stands that's standing where everybody else starts to dive to the floor.
Right.
And whenever he went down, it was clear. It was clear when he went down in the Secret Service rush that this was a serious event, and people were diving, you know, to the floor and to the grass out in the larger area. But the part that to be there and the emotions in the moment when he went down, it was like probably 30 seconds that the Secret Service were on top of him, and it was a long, long time when you're there.
Yeah.
And everyone was thinking, oh my God, this is bad.
Did you do you feel that detail, highly trained, highly dedicated, do you feel, because they've been put down too, that they did what they were supposed to do? From what, in my perspective, viewer, they did exactly what they were supposed to do, wrap him in their bodies so nobody can get a clean shot at him. And I think that's what they did, didn't they?
Well, you've got, you know, three concentric rings with the Secret Service. You've got the inner ring that's right there that's going to dive on him. You've got the next ring, and those are the guys that showed up within 4 seconds, 5 seconds, with the long guns out and the tactical gear. Then you've got the outer ring that's out in the perimeter, and the inner ring that immediately swarmed Trump and buried him in protective, you know, layers of their bodies in Kevlar. They absolutely, I mean, they were moving. After that first shot, they're moving. Everybody else is in stunned, you know, what the hell was that? What was
right.
that pop? You know, everybody's wondering what's going on, but that inner ring, they were moving. And he was buried.
Let me ask you this. Did you hear any of the yelling and chaos surrounding people who saw this guy up on the roof? Did you hear any of that, or was that blocked off by the stands?
Yeah, the roof. So there were three bleachers. The bleacher I was in was directly behind Trump. Then there was a bleacher to the left, to the right. They were canted to like a 45-degree angle. So the bleacher to the right where the fireman was, behind that was the building where the shooter was, and that was out of my line of sight. I couldn't see the building. So I couldn't hear. I've heard reports. There was a retired Pennsylvania State policeman that was out in that field underneath the tree, and he saw the shooter climbing up the ladder, and he tried to get police's attention to what the hell's going on over here. But that was all I couldn't see, I couldn't hear.
Right.
That was right there in the middle of, right behind Trump.
So,
but I tell you, whenever he was down there for that 30 seconds, we're all terrified that, oh my God, this is really, really bad. because they're not standing him up. You know, maybe, you know, maybe he was, you know, critically shot, and then when they stood him up and he raised that fist, oh my God, the crowd just lost it.
That's going to be an iconic photo too.
Oh yeah,
that they're going to use.
Oh, it's an iconic photo that will go down in history. But I'll tell you what, Trump reached Reagan-esque a moment in that time right there when he stood up and did it and raised that fist. That was more than iconic.
Let me ask you this: reaction after some semblance of organization takes place. The Secret Service have their man. They're doing what they're supposed to do. You got your tech guys. And things maybe start to slow down a little bit. What kind of vibration, what did people say to you that were in those stands?
You know, everybody maintained. There's only one person near me that was, you know, in a panic mode and having a panic attack and losing her shit. Mm-hmm. But everybody else maintained. I mean, we all, you know, the Secret Service had them. They hustled them out. You know, everybody has their weapon out at that point.
Right.
And everybody was joyously happy whenever he stood up and raised his fist. But then as they ushered him out, there was no panic. There was no running and screaming and
right.
Everybody just maintained and they were, because it happened pretty quick. You didn't really have time to lose it. And everybody was so jammed in there. I mean, you got 55,000 people in an area that holds maybe 20. So it's not like you could run in panic.
Yeah, exactly. You're all stuck in the cage. I got to ask you, because of your military background, what you've gone through in your life, was there a part of you when this thing started to unfold that you wanted to approach the president and do what you could to protect him?
No, there's my instinct was to turn to the direction of fire. That was my instinct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I've been trained. So, you know, my instinct was to turn to the direction of fire to see, you know, where it was coming from. And then I turned back to Trump as he went down. And then my focus was solely on him. And there, you couldn't have. I mean, I was, you know, so far back, and there's no way anybody could have gone forward, A, because of the protective ring. Because you saw the TAC guys.
Yeah.
You know, they're immediately on stage with the long guns.
And they're locked and loaded.
They are locked and loaded, and those cameramen that were camera people, because they're men and women,
mm-hmm.
With cameras that were literally in the grass right below the stage.
Sure.
And there's one of the TAC guys. I mean, he's got his firearm on them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't you move. I don't know if that's a camera what you have there,
yep.
But you better not move because I'm going to put you down. So there was no movement by anybody because of the immediate tactical response, and they were facing outward towards us.
This is a question I'm going to ask everybody because it's been alluded to over the last few hours and days. Do you think Donald Trump was touched by God?
So in the moment, we're watching Trump, and you hear the pop, and he turned. It was a pop, 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 and he turned to the sound of the gunfire, because he heard the noise and he turned to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, the physics, if he hadn't have turned, that bullet wouldn't have clipped his ear, that bullet would have gone in his ear.
Right.
And we'd be memorializing him today.
Wow.
So, you know, something touched him.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you this, Jim, you've got a memory that I know ended well. But you've got a memory for you for the rest of your life. I don't think anything ever in your life is going to reach this kind of level that you were involved with.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It was. It'll be seared in my memory forever. Yeah.
Jim, yeah. Go ahead,
Jim. This is Mark Hahn. I normally do the afternoon show here on KSCJ Drive Time Live from 5 till 6. I'm also a resident of Pittsburgh. I came from the North Hills of Pittsburgh, Shaler Township, which is on the way up to Butler. Take Route 8 up there. When you talked about people, you said one lady was having a hard time. She was very upset. Was that the one that you can hear screaming? in the audio, or was that somebody that was hit by some gunfire?
She wasn't screaming. She was immediately to my right, and she was crouched down, and she was screaming as far as I'm concerned, because she was right next to me, and she was literally shaking. And I, you know, after it was done and they were ushering him away, she was still losing her stuff. And I tried to calm her down, and she was like, "You can't tell me to calm down."
No,
I'm like, "Well, it's
not
all
now.
Over. It's all over. Everybody's okay, you know." And she finally did, but I don't know that, you know, that she was picked up on audio. I mean, because there were a lot of people a lot closer than she was.
Jim, I need to ask you about the firefighter Corey when he went down, and the way I understand it, and correct me if you were there. It seems to be that his head got in the way of the shooter towards Trump, and that
he was in a line of sight.
He was in the line of sight and the line of fire. Did people jump to action when they saw he was struck? Jump to him?
So you've got the situation immediately after, and after they got Trump out and he was gone, and the two medevac helicopters came in and took, you know, two more people away. And as you know, you've got 55,000 people in automobiles trying to leave one exit. So it took a minute.
Right.
And the cell towers were shut down. And by the time I got out of there, and I turned on, you don't recognize this, KDKA.
Oh, yeah.
On AM. Because all the FM stations were music. There was no news. I had to go to AM. I turned on KDKA. 1020, and I'm listening to them, and so that's how I was getting my information. And there was a gentleman, so the firefighter was about 20 feet to my right, and I didn't see him go down, but I saw the immediate aftermath. And there was a guy three people away from the fireman, that was a medical doctor, and you'll see him, he's wearing the white USA shirt.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of blood on him.
He was the MD, the doctor.
Yeah.
And he immediately, you know, jumped over there and tried to, you know, provide whatever medical care he could provide. Obviously, it was, you know, to no avail. He was already gone. But there was quite a bit of commotion, and there were, and nobody knew in that moment what was going on, except that there was a guy down, and there was speculation in the people around me that maybe he was the shooter and Secret Service had shot him. And so nobody knew what was going on. The confusion in that first 4 or 5 minutes was tremendous, as you would expect.
Right.
But state police and EMTs were immediately in the stands trying to provide whatever aid they could to the poor guy. And I didn't see the other person. Well, now I've learned that there's two other people that were shot besides the fireman. But I didn't see either of those other two. I only saw the fireman because he was immediately to my right.
We haven't received any update on those people, the other people that were shot as well. I know that they were in critical condition. Has there been any word there locally what the condition is?
The word locally is that there was one that was critically injured, and he was immediately in surgery. There was a second person that was also injured. I didn't know the severity, but then the local news have recently been saying that they're both in stable condition.
All right, very good.
All right, I want to ask you, and then we'll let you go. I know this has been tough for you, too. As a man with some military background, intelligence background, are you surprised that the perimeter was so close in, and the Secret Service didn't have snipers on that roof, too?
Yeah, so they did have two sniper teams. There's been a lot of what I say is cussing and discussing as far as the Secret Service and what they did right and what they did wrong. I can tell you the Inner Circle team did magnificently. Why that building was left unprotected, I don't know. There's allegations that the Secret Service detail had been denied repeatedly the resources they've been requesting to provide Trump in these open air large events like this, that they needed more than the standard contingent of agents. But regardless of that, you have state and local support. Why weren't there two state troopers on
exactly.
the top of every building within line of sight? You don't have to have Secret Service.
Exactly.
You've got all these other supporting agencies.
Right.
There were probably 15 different agencies involved. Well, why weren't other people on that route?
You know, it also brings up the point, I don't know if I'm speaking out of my backside or not, but if you're going to set up a perimeter, you should set it up to the total distance a weapon can fire. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 1,000 yards out. Yeah,
1,000 yards out, and these guys were like 160 yards out. So there's a lot of stuff that's got to get through before we find out the truth and everything else. But you're still going to go to another rally, I bet.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't miss it, yeah.
All right, and cool. And what do you think if I said this man is just guaranteed his election to the presidency? Would you agree with that?
Well, you know, so looking at it, you know, big picture, for years, the left has been demonizing Trump, saying he's the, you know, I mean, the quote that is on every Democrat's lips is he's an existential threat to democracy.
I know. That's...
He's going to be an authoritarian tyrant. Yeah. Once he gets elected, he's never going to leave the office. He's going to rule it as a monarchy, you know, yada, 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 yada. And then Biden's saying, you know, just, you know, a week or 10 days ago, we need to put Trump in the crosshairs. If they're trying to try this man for inciting a riot on January 6th, when all he said was, go ahead and protest, but protest peacefully. And they're saying that was inciting a riot or an insurrection. Meanwhile, you really have no shit inciting to violence by saying he's an existential threat to democracy and to put him in the crosshairs.
Yeah.
There are people that need to be held responsible for that kind of rhetoric. Well,
you got it. You really got it. Jim, I want to thank you for your time and the detail you provided us. Thank you so much. And we might call on you again. I don't know.
No problem. I loved my time in Iowa. I love the people of Iowa. Just the most down-to-earth, salt-of-the-earth people I've ever been around. I loved my time in Iowa.
All right.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, and thank you for what you do.
Hey, our pleasure.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh?
Open Line with Charlie Stone.
Now our program actually is on the air.
AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ.
Start your morning right with Chick-fil-A breakfast. Sweeten up your day with our chicken minis. Our fan favorite nuggets served on mini rolls brushed with honey butter. Available in a 4 or 10 count. Keep it light with our protein-packed egg white grill served on a toasted English muffin. Or keep it original with a made-from-scratch Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit or spicy chicken biscuit. Available from 6:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. It'll be our pleasure to serve you at Chick-fil-A Sergeant Road.
Order on the Chick-fil-A One app today.
All right, we're on the line here with Lauren at Siouxland Gutter Guys. Good morning to you, Lauren.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Not too bad, yourself?
I'm doing well. Let's talk about what Siouxland Gutter Guys do. What do you do?
Well, we install 5-inch and 6-inch seamless gutters. We do cleanings, repairs, basically anything to do with gutters. We do install 2 different styles of leak protection. So if you don't want to clean your gutters anymore, we do have some gutter protection so that you don't ever have to clean them again. One's a lifetime warranty, and one comes with a 16-year warranty. Whatever you want to do with gutters, we can do.
All right. How do we get a hold of you?
You can call me at 712-490-1784, or you can also look me up online at SiouxlandGutterGuys.com.
All right. Thanks, Lauren. See you later.
Need a job with competitive pay and flexible hours that fit around your busy schedule? Sioux City Community Schools is hiring. Join the Sioux City Community School District's talented team of instructional assistants, bus drivers, and food service employees. Pay starts at $22.91 for bus drivers, $17.47 for food service, and $16.15 for instructional assistants. Plus, Sioux City Community Schools offers flexible scheduling. Visit SiouxCitySchools.org to apply.
Open Line with Charlie Stone.
Join me in being present at the birth of a great adventure.
AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ.
Hey, welcome back. It's Open Line. I'm Charlie Stone. Got JB over there. I even brought in Mark Hahn to help me out this morning and lend a little color. And again, I'm going to keep asking the question, what in the hell is wrong with us in this country that in my lifetime, I've had 3 presidential assassinations or attempted assassinations. 3 of them in my lifetime. Are we that full of anger and hate? Do people who spew this stuff really believe it? Or is it all for show and games and to garner votes? And if it's all to show and to garner votes, then they got to start thinking that the American people are a little bit brighter than they seem. And they got to stop it on both sides. So today we're talking about what went on in Butler, PA. And Mark, you have somebody special.
Well, Robert Charles is with us. Bobby, good morning. Hello, we have Robert?
Oh, no, I got to get him right here. Hang on. There you go.
All right. Now, are you there, Bobby?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Mark.
All right.
Good to talk to you all.
Bobby was Assistant Secretary of State under Colin Powell in the Bush administration. He's also a naval intelligence officer, a lawyer, and the spokesperson for AMAC, the Association for Mature American Citizens. And Bobby, with all your international experience that you've had, we know that the way that other countries have been watching America closely, they've been watching in particular Joe Biden and how things have been failing, slowly failing for Joe. What will this attempted assassination throw into this mix about the way other countries look at America? Do they look at us as something that is destabilizing?
You know, I guess I'd like to believe that the lessons that we're about to teach the world are the ones that are coming, not the one that just happened. I look at this event, and so the world is a very violent place. I mean, I ran programs in 50 countries, chiefly dedicated to law enforcement, support counter-narcotics, rule of law, trained the Iraqi and Afghan police. The world is a violent place, so we have historically been a refuge from that. Despite the street violence that occurs sometimes, we are basically viewed, our political system is viewed as very stable. And although the point made a moment ago, we've had assassinations and assassination attempts, and they're not uncommon. Generally speaking, we are a very stable country, and we're revered for that. Our political system is viewed as one that is a model. This event has really triggered four things in my mind. One is that what occurred really does look an awful lot like divine intervention. And if you go back in time, George Washington himself had two, in the French and Indian Wars, he had two horses shot out from under him. He had four shots that went through his coat and never hit him. Had he died then, we would have never had him for the Revolutionary War. Who never knows? I mean, whether the country would have come to pass itself. Theodore Roosevelt was shot, shot at many times and not hit in the storming of San Juan Hill in 1898, but again shot in Milwaukee in 1912. And had those things not happened, we would never have had him as president, and the Great White Fleet and the beginning of really America as a world stage player, never mind the Panama Canal, the Nobel Prize for ending the Russo-Japanese War. And then you turn the dial ahead further. We had the 1960s, which is a horrible time. We lost, as I used to talk about briefly with Colin Powell, you know, a horrifying time. We lost a president. We lost a presidential candidate. We lost a civil rights leader, all to assassination. But then you had Ronald Reagan survive an assassination attempt. Margaret Thatcher survived one, and Pope John Paul II at the same time survived one. Had those three not survived, we might not have seen the Soviet Union come down as they coordinated that process. So I see this, and I say the first thing is this almost looks like a true miracle that he could have, should have, within the range, looking at everything that happened, it's a miracle he survived. The second thing is it was a tactical failure, and I won't go deep into that, but I'll say while there were some superb actions by the Secret Service, they had this guy on scope for at least a minute, if not two, and they didn't kill him. I don't understand why that didn't happen. Afterwards, it looked like Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi, these women going back and forth with their sunglasses and unable to get their guns holstered. And the responsive behavior, in my view, was subpar. I think training was definitely, they just were not ready for this. The third big piece of it is causes, and we know what the causes are. If you demonize an individual and you call him a fascist and say he's an existential threat to the country, then someone within 350 million people will take that seriously. Joe Biden, this all lies right at Joe Biden and Pelosi's feet. I mean, this was the demonization of an individual that triggered an individual going after him. And we've seen other. I'll just say this was percolating, and I've warned for 2.5 years that this political violence is easy to stir and hard to put down. And when Joe Biden did that speech in Pennsylvania, by the way, with red lighting and a Marine to his left and right, it was Joseph Stalin like. When he talked about enemies of the people, that's what the Bolsheviks said. That's what the French Revolution said. And the last big question is really the one that you posed. What's the impact of all this? And I will tell you, the impact is, I think we as a country probably are going to sober up and stop this sort of irrational behavior. And I think the ideology, the notion that you should demonize another presidential candidate, that has never happened in our history. We have never said this man is an incarnate evil, needs to be existentially removed, et cetera, target on the back. I think that's going to stop. But I find it a little disingenuous that Joe Biden and Jared Golden and some of these people who were all on board with their party demonizing Trump, now a terrible thing happens and it could have been a lot worse, and all of a sudden, you know, the horses are out of the corral and they're going to, it's like an arsonist starting fires and then running around with a hose afterwards to put them out. Yeah, you started these fires. So let's be straight about that.
Let me ask you this, Charlie Stone here, Robert. Let me ask you this. This is a rarity, I think. Usually an assassination attempt is accompanied by manifesto, social media posts, discussions with friends, etc., etc., etc. And they seem to find nothing on this guy. And it makes me ask the question, have we discounted violence? Have we discounted hatred in the political realm so much that it doesn't mean anything, especially to a 20-year-old kid? He thinks he's just playing a video game.
Well, I do think you're driving at an important point, Charlie, and that is that we've desensitized ourselves to what civil order and really what's expected of us as individuals, not just listening to our better angels, but not allowing ourselves to be dragged off into sort of alternate realities and really untrue or fictional environments and pretending that they're real or real environments and treating them like fiction. I do think we've done a terrible disservice. The shutdowns of the COVID era were a terrible disservice to our young people. Our public school system is in shambles. I think our moral guidance that we are supposed to be offering these kids that we grew up with, a lot of us grew up under the tutelage of World War II vets. They had seen evil. They knew good. They taught us the difference, whether it was the Boy Scouts or something else. They taught us what was right, what was wrong, and we took it to heart, and we understood it, and we practiced it, and we understood it to be true. I think we've let down this generation a lot by not being good moral leaders, and I think the social media stuff, I mean, if you go back in time, the assassination of John F. Kennedy by Lee Harvey Oswald, there wasn't a lot of scattered chatter. We didn't have social media back then. Sirhan, who killed Robert Kennedy out in California during that primary, there wasn't a lot of advance. I think part of it is people who are mentally deranged, all it takes is a little bit of ideological stirring, and they can become obsessive, and they can do crazy things. And that happens, of course, every day in other environments. This one is profoundly disturbing, and I think one of the things we have to do is, you know, it's one thing for a president to go out and give a speech saying after the event, after he has stirred all of this ire, we shouldn't be stirring ire. We shouldn't be political. Well, of course, he's right. We shouldn't be, and he shouldn't have been. But I think that message can't be a one-day wonder. We need to be out there all the time talking about the fact that we are a civil society. We can't run down the Supreme Court. We can't have people out there like Pelosi saying, go vent your anger, or people like Schumer saying, we're going to get you back, we're going to pay you back. Because what happens? You almost had a Supreme Court justice. Kavanaugh was almost killed. So you have to start remembering who we are as a people. We are a people who believe that political violence, literally, under any circumstances, like 2020, it has no place in this country. It is not justified by grievance. Not even the largest grievance justifies political violence in this country.
You know, we have a tendency in this country, especially on the violent side, that they pick up this violence, this hatred, they act on it, and then they self-administer the medication that I am a patriot. And I'm telling you, our patriot forefathers would roll over. That's not being a patriot.
Well, listen, right after the revolution, and that was, of course, a very... we were breaking free from a tyrannical government. Even after that, in the decades after that, you had the Kentucky Rebellion, you had the Whiskey Rebellion, and George Washington actually led those... Being a patriot means you believe in the Constitution, and the Constitution, from top to bottom, Supreme Court cases, the whole nine yards, does not permit political violence in the country. And I think we have to reteach that lesson. I mean, you know, it's not only the values of the country, it's how the values of the country nest in the larger constitutional requirements that we are all supposed to live by. So, yeah, you're right.
And let me give you, I want to get your take on this. During the video replays of this tragic incident, we have him escorted off the stage. Secret Service gets him into the up-armored vehicle. But then I see at the bottom of the video a bunch of people who are standing up, facing the press, facing the camera, giving him the finger, and yelling F you to them. And I'm saying to myself, wait, do you guys just know what happened? And here you are stirring that hatred pot again? That boggles my mind.
You know, I can't explain what goes through people's minds, but I think when you see someone that you care about, that you believe is important for the country, hurt, undoubtedly anger percolated up there. If that fellow had, I don't know, still been alive, I'm sure people would have descended upon him. I don't know who they were blaming. I think one of the most remarkable things is that under normal circumstances, when you hear shots go off, and we've seen these situations, people run. They did not run here, which is quite interesting. I mean, I almost feel like they felt that they were part of the protective force, if you will, that Trump needed. I'm disappointed in the chaotic behavior that occurred around that vehicle. It bothers me because, I mean, I've spent a lot of time with senior law enforcement personnel. I spent time in two White Houses and with a third president. And I will say that the Secret Service historically is very methodical. There's none of this running back and forth. There's none of these failures in terms of chaotic response. And I listen to the comms, and, you know, these women are saying to each other, oh, my God, what do we do? Where do we go? I don't know what to do. What's happening? Well, that's not the Secret Service I know. The Secret Service I know is 100% on and very dedicated. And I will say that some of the agents there were 100% on and completely dedicated. They got him down right away. They obviously moved to get him from vehicle to vehicle and protect him. But, you know, I don't know what's really going on. Were there too few agents there? Is the training not up to it? You know, one of the problems, I think, I am no fan of this current head of the Secret Service. She's the one that said that she had no explanation for the fact that all of the texts and emails between Secret Service agents disappeared on January 6th, and she wasn't going to make any apology for it. I frankly think this all goes back to her in terms of operations, and I think she should be removed. I think she actually, you know, there's a chain of command, and if your people fail because of training and leadership, then you're responsible for that.
Yeah. Well, they say that she was a DEI hire.
I don't know. At
Pepsi. Yeah, I don't know either, Bobby, because I wasn't that close to this. But that's what they're saying. She was at Pepsi. But she was a Secret Service agent before that.
She had been, yeah.
She got to Pepsi. And, you know, I think hindsight's 20/20, Bobby, as you well know. You look at things after the fact, assess what went wrong, how can we correct it, that it never happens again. One of the things that has been brought up, too, about what happened in Butler is that there was no drones. There were no drones up, no aerial surveillance, helicopters or drones, no other support that way with it. And why didn't they check out a roof that had a line of sight to where the president's podium was, line of sight there? Why was that roof not checked out or secured?
Yeah, now you're asking all the right questions. You know, I think it was a complete failure of leadership, and I think she should go. Because that all comes back to her. At the end of the day, you know, it's easy to assume the best. It's easy to be lazy. It's easy to rest on your laurels. It's easy not to be physically fit. It's easy to just say, you know, we're not going to look around corners. We're going to just hope that everything works out. The problem is those are the environments, invariably, those are the environments in which the worst happens. And, you know, I'm always intrigued. You know, I did investigations for 5 years. I did the investigation of the Waco disaster, I find that we get all spun up in the moment. We try to learn a lesson in the moment, and then we forget it again. And my feeling about this is I don't know whether they had too few agents on him. I don't know whether they decided they would put agents around him that weren't the highest qualified. I don't know. The Secret Service is supposed to be the most select federal law enforcement community, and I've worked with, you know, ATF, DEA, FBI, there are other federal arms of law enforcement. The Secret Service are the ones that people, you climb up to that ranking. And, you know, listen, like the Delta Force or the SEALs in the Navy, there should be no excuses. DEI has absolutely no place. Political correctness has no place. You are either the best of the best of the best, or you don't belong there.
Indeed. Got it. So, Bobby, I want to thank you for your expertise, your insight. Thank you so much.
Sure.
For joining us this morning, and we'll see how this all unfolds, because there's a lot to unfold down the road here.
And yeah, we definitely thank you, Bob, because we know you're going to be quite busy today, reaching out and with media.
I will. I encourage people to go to amac.us, because I have a piece that I wrote yesterday about what I'll call divine intervention and the history of those who have somehow survived crazy events and what happens afterwards. And then I have a piece that was up on Saturday, really looking at this from a different perspective, and the fragility or the delicacy of democracy, and how easy it is for us to get lawless. And again, if people go to amac.us, you can read those pieces. And as you know, Mark, I have pieces up there every day that are often looking around corners. So I'm grateful there are people talking about it. I do think we need to be rational and keep our heads and remember that maybe this actually, there's good that comes out of this. Maybe we as a nation sober up and begin to think about the fact that being rational and reasonable might be a better way of getting towards solutions.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Robert Charles, our guest here on
Drive. There he goes. One thing, do you have to take a break? Okay, I'll hold it back on it. I have another observation. I don't know if it's true or not, but we'll talk about it.
The news and talk of Siouxland, AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ.
Hey, folks, Donald Trump Jr. here. Let me ask you this. Does inflation feel worse than we're being told in the news? That's because the official inflation rate doesn't tell the whole story. Since January of 2021, the cost of living has increased by 17.9%. You can't get that money back. But what you can do is stop your losses today. How? By diversifying your savings into a gold IRA from my friends at the Birch Gold Group. When you're done, your money will be parked in a tangible asset with proven history. To see how it works, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word HEDGE to 989898. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. They provide an easy process to roll over your 401k or IRA into gold without losing your tax advantage status. So text HEDGE 989898. That's HEDGE to the number 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs from Birch Gold.
Message and data rates may apply.
Make time for you today. You deserve an amazing cup of Stone Brew coffee and great food at Bob and Ellen's. They're built on solid Midwest values of respect, service, and kindness. The great food, the perfect atmosphere, and the excellent service will bring you back again and again. Download the Bob and Ellen's app for easy ordering, or order online at bobandellens.com. Order for eat-in, pickup, or delivery. Your go-to for pizza, subs, and fabulous Stone Brew coffee. Bob and Ellen's. Something to write home about.
Come for the fair, stay for the fun at the Woodbury County Fair, July 31st through August 4th in Mobile. The grandstand shows start on Wednesday, July 31st with the team roping and Fast Money Run Rodeo. Returning this year, the Barnes BRCA Rodeo on Thursday. Don't miss Eddie Montgomery and Dane Lewis in concert on Friday. Saturday, it's the Outlaw Tractor Pull, and Sunday, the Arnard Total Destruction Demo Derby. Stay up to date with all the family fun events at the Woodbury County Fair on Facebook, and we'll see you at the fair.
This 4th of July, Lazy Days is lighting up the sky with unbeatable deals on a wide selection of RVs from your favorite brands. Discover brand new travel trailers under $15,000 and fifth wheels under $40,000. Looking for budget-friendly options? Lazy Days is celebrating with fireworks-worthy pricing as little as $115 a month. Don't miss out on these incredible 4th of July savings. Stop by or visit LazyDays.com today. Lazy Days of Omaha at Council Bluffs, I-29 North, Exit 52.
Open line with Charlie Stone.
Being host is one tough job.
AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ.
Sitting behind, this is Mark Hahn.
Hey.
You and I were discussing in the back before we came out of the break some of the some of the guests that are coming up that we're trying to get in. Plus, your phone calls, too.
Yeah, I want to hear what the people have to say. I know you have something to say about this, and I think it's really necessary that we as a community, as Open Line is, as a representative of that community, as a show, that we hear what you have to say. Don't tell me you have nothing to say. We just had an attempted assassination attempt. Here's what I was going to bring up. And I don't know if it's true. I have no clue if it's true because it's on Facebook. But they have one of these snipers who said, hey, I had my sights on him for 3 minutes, and nobody, no leader of the Secret Service gave me the green light to shoot. Now, I've heard those stories before that were true, but I don't know if this one's true, because first of all, I find it hard to believe that a Secret Service agent would post something like that on Facebook.
Well, we hear about it during war, too. I mean,
well, we hear about it during war and all that, so I don't know if that's true or not. We also have to talk about the officer that went up, saw the guy there. He swiveled his rifle at him. He fell off the roof. He didn't run away. He, you know, if a gun's pointed at you, yeah, woo.
Well, what they said is he got up on the shoulders of another officer,
yeah,
in order to peek over so he couldn't,
right,
get up on the roof. And as soon as the officer got his head up above the roof,
and that guy turned on
the
him.
Guy turned and had the rifle. So in knee-jerk reaction, he fell backwards.
I wish there would have been an engagement.
Yeah.
I really do. That engagement at that moment in time would have stopped everything. But, again, we're going to go up to Fox News, get the latest. We come back, we'll have some guests, but also want your calls at 239-2101. See you in a bit.
Supported by our listeners and local businesses, this is Talk Radio 1360, KSCJ, Sioux City.